self-reflective.
That blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs.
Fill yourself up and keep your cup full.
Also, I believe in shea butter as a core value.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Styling Soul Podcast, your home at the intersection of style and wellness, where we approach shopping, lifestyle, and career conversations from a holistic perspective. I am your host, Kendra Monet, and let's get into the show. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you're doing all of the good things like resting and, you know, eating vegetables and working out and stuff like that. I know I definitely rested this 3-day weekend. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I moved at the pace I wanted to. I woke up when I wanted to for the most part, and I really, really needed that. And I was also present, and I closed my laptop. I took my own advice from episode 4, and I used rest as a form of trust because I rested knowing that, hey, my blog can wait, the podcast can wait, work can wait. It's for me to get rest and for me to feel energized for the week ahead, and I have no regrets that I did that. So I hope that you guys were able to do the same and get your rest on. So today's episode is all about betting on yourself. So I know once before we talked about getting started, and of course we have to start there, right? Step one is to get started. But after you've done that, what's next? How do you keep going? How do you stay motivated? You have to bet on yourself. And so I knew that there was no one better to talk to about this topic than my friend, Chelsea Williams. She is the CEO of College Code LLC, and she has really, really bet on herself. I mean, this girl left a 6-figure salary, a corner office overlooking Central Park, and a VP title in corporate America working in finance in order to literally take a leap of faith and jump into the unknown. Her story is so inspiring, and it was actually really educational for me. So I hope that you guys will learn a lot as well. But before we get into that, this is the time of the show where I give you the spark notes about what's happening in the worlds of fashion, beauty, and retail. It's industry tea time.
The tea is exceptionally good today. Who made this? Very delicious. Hold on.
First, in fashion news, I have a Fashion Week update for you guys. And the biggest news is about who is not participating. Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, Michael Kors, Marc Jacobs, Oscar de la Renta, and Tory Burch are all brands that are not showing. And this is a big deal because these are all brands that typically go big for Fashion Week. Like, I remember my first magazine job in 2014, all of the editors got these big Tommy Hilfiger vinyls and like actual vinyls with playlists that they could play because they had like a 70s theme and the covers were nicely designed with Tommy Hilfiger graphics. Like, they went all out, and Ralph Lauren always does a huge show each year, but Ralph Lauren had major furloughs, major cuts due to COVID. So it really makes sense that they're not going all out this year. But the CFDA, which is the Council of Fashion Designers of America, they've rolled out a new platform called Runway 360, and this will act like a centralized hub to view and stream all the fashion shows. So think Netflix for Runway. It's pretty cool. It's primarily a business-to-business tool for the industry, so it's not an editorial website or a magazine website, but the designers will be able to make their shows as exclusive or as available as they want to. So some shows will be only for press and buyers, but some shows will be open to the public. So I'm pretty excited about that. Also in Fashion Week news, but this one is all about Harlem Fashion Row. So I think it definitely deserves its own spotlight. And if you're not familiar, Harlem Fashion Row is a platform founded by Brandis Daniels to highlight multicultural designers. And they really have their virtual experience all planned out. It's going to be a award show as well as a runway show. So first is the award show, and it's really all done experience style. So it's not going to be your typical runway show. It's going to be an entire experience and it's been shot documentary style. So there's going to be a lot of fashion influencers involved. I know that Dapper Dan is going to be making an appearance, and Tracee Ellis Ross is going to be giving out one of the awards at the award show. So the award show is going to be highlighting different multicultural people of different backgrounds that are really doing big things in the fashion industry. Lindsay People Wagner, the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue, is going to be awarded. There's also a Publicist of the Year award that is going to be going to Nate Hill. And there's a Designer of the Year award that is going to be going to none other than Pierre Moss, which is designed by Kirby Jean Raymond, to name a few. And after the award show, there's going to be a runway show highlighting the collections from Kimberly Goldston, Rich Fresh, and Christian Lauren, who will all present their collections digitally. So this is definitely an event that you're going to want to check out. It's going to premiere on September 13th. I'm not exactly sure who all is going to be able to stream the premiere, but it is going to have an encore presentation on September 19th that's going to be available for the public, and your girl is definitely going to be in there. So in fashion news, but also it's a bit of political news. Woo, bear with me. I know you came here for style. You came here for soul, but we're talking politics. Bear with me. This is fashion news because Joe Biden's campaign merch has just gone live on the Joe Biden online store, and the stuff is good. And it's not just regular, degular screen printed t-shirts. It's an actual collection that is a collaboration with several U.S. designers. It's called the Believe in Better Collection, and there are lots of really good pieces from really good designers. So just to name a few, we have Carly Kushney, Vera Wang, Jason Wu, Aurora James, Parenza Schuler, Jonathan Cohen, Tori Burch. The list goes on, and the pieces are actually good. There's a shirt that says, "The Future is Stronger in Color" by Prabal Gurung. There's a Joe Biden bucket hat that your girl just bought because it's good and I had to. And there's also storytelling pieces. Like there's a bandana, but they chose to use a bandana because it's symbolic of American history when bandanas were symbolic in the Revolutionary War and also in World War II when women were working in factories and tied their hair with a bandana. So Joseph Altuzarra chose to use the bandana as a political symbol again. There's just a lot of good stuff. So if you're interested, check it out, get your merch. But more importantly, show up at the polls in November and vote.
Lemon E. Best day of tea since the show began.
Okay, so hey, Chelsea girl, how are you?
Hi, Kendra, how are you?
Good. I'm so excited to have you. Thank you so much for agreeing to chat with me today for the podcast.
I'm so excited to be on.
I know Chelsea as a dear friend of mine. She is a phenomenal woman all around, but she is also the founder and CEO of College Code. And I don't even want to not do it justice by not explaining it properly, so I'll allow you to share that. But Chelsea, I met Chelsea right when she founded this organization, and I have really watched her go from, I mean, she's doing her thing. I've really watched her grow in it, and I've seen her, you know, check off some of the goals off of her list and go from, you know, working in corporate America to being an entrepreneur and then also an employer. So yeah. Chelsea, if you could just tell me a little bit about your background, you know, before College Code, and then tell us all a bit about what College Code is and how you got there.
I'm so happy to, Kendra. And it's so amazing as you were just introing me and talking about just like the life cycle. I think we've known each other for about 2 years now, mm-hmm. but just to think about like literally that whole journey, it's crazy. It's been crazy, but it's been such a blessing along the way. It's been good. So I am obviously based in New York City, hence us meeting, but originally from Raleigh, North Carolina. So Carolina girls, which mm-hmm. I love so much, went to Spelman. So my story of coming to New York City was from college. I literally came here for work. Like, didn't have family here, moved here. My right after I graduated with my best friends from college, we literally lived on the same block in Harlem. And I was working in financial services for a little over 8.5 years before I decided throughout my time there that there was more. Like, literally, I tell the story. Work was so good at the time when I decided to leave. And I really felt God's prompting to step out and to really, like, just be the solution to this problem that I had been observing in my financial services days. So, you know, before I tell you about College Code, I will just say, and you know this, Kendra, like, there was no reason why I should have left the way that I did. Like, if you looked at it, like, on a big banner, it's like, I had been promoted to vice president. I had an office. I was making six figures. I was traveling the world. I was going to board meetings. Like, I literally had what people would consider to be like a really great job for someone under 30. Like, it really was one of those moments where even to my colleagues, they're like, oh, so you're leaving? Like, why? Like, you just kind of stepped into this. But I felt like there was really a need to focus on supporting diverse students and early career professionals, in particular, navigating into the workplace. And so as the founder and CEO of College Code, our focus is on helping students and diverse professionals navigate work. So, like, how you think about entering into a career to when you get there, like, how do you navigate this, like, hamster wheel that sometimes feels like corporate America, which I know that you know all too well. And so we partner with colleges, universities, nonprofits, and employers on strategy for managing their people in an effective way. And now, obviously, because of just everything that's going on from a racial injustice lens, the DE&I space, diversity, equity, and inclusion, Kendra, it's like the hot area. So you can imagine we're pretty busy with people who are really looking to do better. And so it's funny. The most hard moments, I really have learned that God uses as an opportunity. So I think that our growth is because we are serving as a solution to a problem.
Wow. So there are so many things in that. One, I didn't know that you left as VP. I did not know that.
So yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is, Kendra, like, I was like, I had just gotten this really beautiful office overlooking, like, Central Park. Like, it was a big deal, especially because I was one of very few Black people. So it definitely, to anybody who knew, would probably just be like, why is she leaving? What's she going to go do? That's so great.
And you were also killing it. So you didn't have a problem, quote unquote, climbing the corporate ladder, or did you?
Honestly, I did not have a problem advancing in the sense that I was coached and mentored. So I believe deeply in mm-hmm. mentorship and coaching and sponsorship. I had that for sure, Black and white, but I think I was exhausted. And I'll tell you, Kendra, I don't think it was until I left. And I will never forget one day I was walking. This was maybe 2 weeks after I had left my job. I was walking out of New York Sports Club on Frederick Douglass. And I was just thinking about all that I had suppressed, like, in my financial services days. Because, Kendra, I grew up in that. Like, I literally was a sophomore in college when I got my first internship. Finance is all I knew. Mm-hmm. And that world, you know, the world, it has its culture and experience. And so I think that I had suppressed a lot during that time.
So you feel like you suppressed a lot of your own desires, or just even the essence of who you are?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think it was the essence of who I was, because, again, like, in that environment, creativity, and it's so interesting because it's funny, when I think about you as a friend, I'm definitely like, Kendra's a creative person by nature. It's so clear and so evident. But I think, you know, I am too, in a very different way. But being in financial services didn't provide me the opportunity to really explore what that looks like. Like, how do you actually create, design, communicate with people in a way that's different but relevant? And I think for me, leaving has actually brought up in my business now opportunities for me to be creative as a trainer, a speaker, a coach. And so I'm learning new elements of myself in the transition.
I love that. And I also love that you said that you're able to explore your creativity, because I think often we think that being a quote unquote creative is limited to like the arts and totally. Like visual arts or photography or styling or singing or things like that. But creativity really can just be being creative in how you reach people. And I think that has really been your strong point, because you are clearly reaching people in a way that was needed before College Code existed. So before we get more into College Code, what skills do you feel like you developed while you were working in corporate America that has made this a better transition for you?
Oh, I love that question, Kendra. That's such a good one. I just love it because I always think about it so much. And again, like I feel, and you know this as a freelancer, future business owner, et cetera, there's a lot of skills that you're building. You don't even know when you're going to use them again. Like some of the things I thought were like very kind of basic skills I use very frequently in my role. So I think one of the big ones is like relationships. Like how do you build and cultivate, not just build relationships, but cultivate them in a way where people know you and what you can bring to the table, and they trust that so well that you don't have to really ask for anything. They're doing the marketing for you. And so I think for me, Kendra, I'll tell you, when I think about this year and the craziness of 2020, the reason that we've been able to do well is because of my relationships and how people will legitimately market me. They'll tell their friends, they'll tell their coworkers. Mm-hmm. And most of my business has been built off of referrals. So I think relationships, hands down, is like a big one. And then I think some of the other ones are just problem solving and critical thinking. Like it's not always going to be a very clear cut path, but how do you be resourceful? And I think that's just, you know, that's how we are. When I even think about you taking the little that you have and making more out of it. I think that those are like two big things that come to mind. And then I think the other part is, and I don't know if we call this a skill, but faith. I think just believing in bigger, having a vision set from the beginning. And even in my finance days, I had vision about like what was the opportunity for me, for the team, for the organization, and that never let me down, because it was always something I was striving towards.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned faith, and you are a strong woman of faith, and I think that's probably the biggest, that not probably, that is the biggest. For sure. It's like a secret weapon that you have.
Yeah.
So tell me about how faith has played a part in your journey.
Oh my goodness. It's been everything. Like, oh my gosh, I can think about so many times. And again, I was one of very few like Black people in my finance days, especially in my last role. And so there were times where, and I would actually say this, Kendra, and you know this, not just the Black woman, but also the millennial Black woman in an industry that's pretty seasoned, you know, like more seasoned age folks. So I think that sometimes we don't talk about the generational piece and what that means in the workplace. And I think that when I think about my faith, I'm saying this to say there were times where I knew I could do it, to your point, because of my faith, but I also was like, oh, so I have all these things that I have to kind of, that are up against me with all these different types of people. And the only thing that would give me like the strength and that vision that I talked about was just like going to the restroom or going to a conference room and literally praying. Like I can remember, but every big meeting, every time I had to present, every time that I was traveling for work, like praying, consistently praying every single time. And literally after I would do something that felt so huge to me or difficult to me, I knew prayer was what got me through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's big for me. It just believing and like, I think about my transitional moment, because it was really hard. Like, it sounds like a really cute story. Oh, she left the job and started a business, but it's not. Okay. That's the word. It's not easy. And I can remember in particularly like the 6 months before I was going to do it, it was me and another woman who worked at my firm. We're very close to this day, another Black woman. And we would sometimes just go up to a conference room and just like pray and encourage each other. And so I can remember daily during my lunch, I'd eat my lunch and then I would sometimes just go and do like 15 minutes and I would be overlooking like Central Park and just praying and just believing that God was going to help shepherd me to the next step. So prayer is huge.
Talk to me a bit more about the transition, because you said it wasn't always pretty. Did you always want to be a business owner? Was this just a need that you saw? How did the seed get planted? And then talk to me a little bit about the process of actually leaving to getting clients and getting this thing off the ground.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a loaded question. Did I ever think about it? Being a business owner, transparently, Kendra, no. Like, my goal, if you were to ask me in college or in high school, are you going to be an entrepreneur? I would have never said that for myself. I wanted to be an executive in corporate America at one point. And then I had thought about wanting to be a professor and just doing like speaking I had wanted to do. So that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, the way that God works, all of those I'm doing now, but I'm the advisor. I'm the advisor.
Wow.
So I know it's this crazy, but when I first was deciding that this was it, first of all, again, I go back to it. I give God the credit. I give God the credit for just, he would just download all these things to me. Like I would see a problem. I remember I was leading diversity campus recruiting. And one particular day I was at Wharton School in Philly. And I had met with the Black Student Union. I had met with a diversity group, right? And we were talking some of the things that were being shared. And then some of the things I was observing, I'm like, this is a problem. So you mean to tell me you could be at an Ivy League school and still be experiencing XYZ, right? So like, I was like, this isn't supposed to be this way. There has to be a solution. So there was a number of different experiences that happened where I was almost like collecting a list of problems mm-hmm. and then thinking like, being like, what's the solution or what's the opportunity? And God was really leading me to say, you can be a part of that. I didn't know what it would look like at the time. College Code, the name, I was sitting down at a conference. I was a Jackie Robinson scholar through college. So we were having our annual conference and my mentor, back to relationships, we were talking and she was just like, we were just downloading the information. And she's like, she said code. And then I thought college, and it literally, she was the person who helped to ideate that idea.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know that that's it, but I feel like there's something there. And literally even the graphic, if you think about it, our graphic is almost like a decoder sign. And so we're decoding and demystifying this, jungle, this difficult process of navigating through early career. And so, that's really how it came about, Kendra, in terms of like the process, mm-hmm. I prayed on it, got like, I felt like I was led to a certain date. And then I did the transition. I had saved. So I'm one of those people who, tried to be or worked on being more financially literate. So I had saved a little bit because we are in New York City and I'm not a trust fund baby. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have another, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't have backup. So I had to that was what was weighing on me actually the most, Kendra. I was like, I'm in New York City. It's expensive. And I don't have a backup in that sense. So that was probably the hardest thing for me to get over. And then faith again, like I was like, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out and I know you're with me through it. So I had started working on a business plan. And then literally the first year, I don't remember if we talked about, but the first year was awful. Mm-hmm. I have never cried so much in my life. I have never, oh my God. I mean, transparently, this is the God honest truth. My hair had thinned out.
Like, oh no. Yeah,
people don't tell us the real story of entrepreneurship. I was stressed. I was worrying a lot. But at the same time, I was in like entrepreneurial boot camps. I had, at that time, I had just even lost a lot of weight. I was very stressed through that first year and just not really knowing where I was going to be headed. And I'll tell you, Kendra, I really didn't have big breakthrough the first year at all. But I had this, I was just kept praying and I just kept believing I'm building a foundation. I'm building a foundation. Then I got called to join this consulting firm to do some diversity, equity, and inclusion work for them. I had one big client who betted on me and was like, we want you to do this. And then I'll tell you, like, and I think I also needed Kendra confidence. Mm-hmm. I needed those partnerships to build my confidence for me to be able to be like, I've got this. I can do this. Because my confidence was shot that first year. And so again, that first year of really grinding it out was really difficult. But that first big client, they went and told some people. And then literally, you know, I was grinding. I had some opportunities, you know, left and right that would open additional doors. And I will tell you, it was this year that things really shifted, like major shifted between COVID and the racial injustices. And so I will say this, the hard work that was happening the first year, even though I didn't know where it was going, Kendra, like I didn't know the relationships that I was cultivating, like at the time where it would lead. Fast forward to now, because the work was being done at that time, God had was positioning me then. And transparently, no one wants to talk about this, training me. You think you're good, but we're really not. He's training us for the bigger partnerships where you can't afford to mess up.
Girl, I'm trying to like be calm about this. And you said something else about building your confidence, because I think that is one of the hardest things as a new business owner, or even if you're new in a corporate setting, is to assert yourself as an expert when you're like, okay, I know that I know this, but what, my rap sheet isn't that long. How do I prove to this person that with only this given years of experience that I'm a quality candidate or, you know, for whatever the job is? How were you actually able to do that? Especially, I know when you were in corporate America, being the young woman and then stepping out on your own and telling these companies, yes, I can tell you how to run your employees.
Yeah, that's where I go back to, Kendra. Like, you do need that social proof. So people may disagree with me, but the companies, the organizations, the affiliations you have, to an extent, they matter. Like, it's not, listen, all things are possible. Literally, I believe that. But I also think that there is some like level setting people need, some confidence they need to be able to take that bet. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, for me, and I told you this, I'm going to go back to it all the time. Here's the secret: referrals. You, like, it has to be, most people, you can look at a website, and you know this nowadays, everybody and their mama has a website. Okay, so sorry, you know me. Everyone and their mom literally has a website. So even the website situation, like, yeah, it's something. And I'm not saying you don't need to have it. We do need to, because it's like just a step in the process. But more people are going to trust a referral, like a delivery that you did that hit the knot, that hit the spot and actually helped to drive change, than any website they could look at any day. Because we're people. We believe in that validation from others, especially if it's someone we know and trust.
Right.
And so I go back to, Kendra, I'm telling you, I'm looking right now at my list of my current partners. I did not reach out to any of them. They're all referrals.
Let's go. That gets me hyped.
Referrals. yeah, Kendra. Well, because I'll tell you, my whole first year. So again, my whole first year, I was doing that market, like the email reach outs, blah, like, hi, Cindy, I found your nonprofit and I think I could help. Nobody responds. Let me not say nobody. Very few people responded that, because they're like, who are you, Chelsea C. Williams? Nobody knows you.
right.
But when it's like a referral from someone and they're like, hey, I heard about you through, you know, Jane, who works over at this organization, you know, we've heard great things. We'd love to talk. You just have a different prospect conversation, because you're not really trying to prove at that point.
So what did you do in the beginning to get your first clients? I know that you did take the contracting role. So tell me a little bit about that. Were you excited to do that? Did you feel like you were going against your quote unquote dreams, or how was that process?
Oh, such a good one, Kendra. No, like, I feel like one of the things that I wish that I had done even before I had left my corporate job was like to think about what partnerships are going to help me get to my goal. And I think a lot of times, like, we're like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to build this thing. Most of, again, the successes that we've been having have been partnerships. Mm-hmm. Like, we literally go further together. And if you think about any major company, there is usually some type of affiliation or partnership that they have that helps them to grow over time. So I'm a big proponent. When the opportunity came up, I was like, kind of, you know, pro-con list, but really just like, what's the opportunity here? The opportunity is, this is an established firm. They've asked me to come on and be a millennial voice. They have worked with some really dope Fortune 500 and 1000s. Like, even if my goal here is to learn and I'm in training for what's to come, I'm game for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that the end of the first year, Kendra, I'm telling you that contracting opportunity that I had was literally my training ground. I feel like, when I think back about that, like, God told me several times, like, you're in training, like, this is training for what's to come. And this was fast forward before COVID and the racial injustices. And honestly, like, I'm so glad I had that, because I don't know that I would have been ready to really be fully game for mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, because now, like you said, this is needed more than ever. So how did you first go about pricing yourself? Was that something you were comfortable with, or... Because I know that's something me and Jordan, our mutual friend Jordan, we were talking about how it's so easy in the early phases when someone first comes to you and they say, what's your rate? You're like, oh, my rate. One moment, please. I will circle back to you. And then you're like, oh my God, how much money do I ask for? I don't want to ask for too much because I don't want them to run away, but I don't want to lowball myself and I could pay what I deserve. And then you like go online and you try and find other people's prices, and and then you're uncomfortable and you don't even want to say the number. So you only email it or write it. So where are you now when it comes to naming your price? And how was that for you starting off?
Oh, I love that you started with where are you now? Because that's good. Well, let me tell you, Kendra, and I don't know if I've ever told you this. I absolutely love, love, love sales and business development. Like, some people,
okay,
it makes them like cringe when they think about having to like put a proposal together, ask for money. Girl, that's my favorite thing to do. I love to send an invoice. I love to send an invoice. It's my favorite.
I need to get like you.
It took time though. But then that's the confidence piece. Like, at first, you know, so now I'm very much more comfortable making the ask. I'm very much more comfortable even thinking about today. There was a person who I was having a prospect call with, and by the end I was like, I'm not the right fit for you. And I'm more comfortable to just say that kind of stuff. Like, actually, mm-hmm. your budget of $500 to train 2,000 people, I'm sorry, I'm not the person. That's way below what I would ever consider. And I feel like I'm okay to even say that out loud. But to your point,
I don't know if you could hear me snapping, like, yeah.
I heard the snaps. But you know what it is? In my HR days, and you knew this, I worked in HR, I'm still like mindful of the pay gap for Black women and mm-hmm. and Latina women. And so for me, I always go into situations in general being like, I'll never fully know the highest that they're paying consultants, contractors, partners, etc. But I am darn sure going to make sure that I'm asking. And even if we have to negotiate below, I'm going to ask to the point at which it makes me uncomfortable. And then I know if I fall somewhere else, I'm still good. So mm-hmm. I think with the pricing thing, there's like formulas for what you need to do. Like, you need to think about how much time, any type of products or like technical devices that you might use to deliver a service. You need to think about your intellectual property and all of those stuff. Like, there's an actual formal ingredient that I think that anybody can find on Google. But I think at the end of the day, Kendra, it comes down to your confidence and what you think that service is worth.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. And it is really good to be mindful as well of the gap, because a lot of times that gap is there because we don't ask, and because we don't ask for more. Women in general don't ask for more.
Totally.
Like, women are so much more willing to say like, okay, that's your offer, I'll accept it, without even giving a counter offer. And men are like, I'm just gonna go in there and I'm gonna ask for lots of money and like see what happens. And then when it comes to, and then even more so with Black women, I think sometimes, yes. I know there's been experiences where I probably was getting paid less because I was just felt good to be there. And we have to really get to the point where being hired for the job isn't enough. And we don't need to feel bad about getting paid our worth.
Absolutely, Kendra. And I guess the last point that I'll say about that, this is one of my favorite questions because I'm so passionate about it. I didn't answer your second part of your question, which was like, what were you doing before? Mm-hmm. Hot mess. It was a complete hot mess. I was like, literally, you know, I was doing what I thought was the right thing to do. And the problem with that is like, everyone always said, or if you really want to talk about business growth, everyone will say, when you think about your business, you need to be setting quarterly goals. And so if you set your quarterly goal, and I know for us, I mean, we're talking 6-7 figure businesses. We're not playing around. Like, we really aspire to be at that level. And so if that's your vision, and it's not everyone's vision, but if that's your vision, then let me tell you, for me as a trainer and someone who coaches, if I'm asking someone to pay me $50 an hour, or if I'm asking a company to pay me $500 an hour to facilitate, I'm never going to get to that big vision. And transparently, I'm going to be limited in being able to reach people because of my time. And so because I'm never going to be able to get to that quarterly goal that I've set, which is the annual goal that I've set. So at the beginning, when I really think about it now, if I had stayed with that same pricing tier, would not have been able to grow. And transparently, Kendra, bring on staff. So you brought bringing up a team. You have to have capital to bring a team on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like at some point, if you're thinking about growing, which is the big goal, the only way we, you know, when we think about growing, we have to compensate. We have to, we have to charge more so that we get the finances so that we can bring other people on to support the vision and grow and impact more lives.
I love that you said, oh, I love a proposal. I love sending an invoice. Like, we should, right? Like, no, obviously, yeah. we go into business to solve a problem and to, you know, offer a solution. But we also go into business to make money. So we need to be willing to and excited about having these money conversations. So that's definitely an area that I'm trying to grow in and that I'm trying to get better at, because I've accepted way, way too little in the past.
Me too. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But I think we have to do that to prepare for where we're going.
So, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't jump out the gate, you know, charging ridiculous fees when you don't have anything to show your work. Some people, you have to realize, okay, this is also an investment, so I can add them to my portfolio.
Yes.
And
yes,
show what I can do. Sometimes we do have to take that in the beginning.
Absolutely. The other thing I would say is, to your point about having to take something, you're so right. Like the only other piece I would say is there were some things that I did. Having to contribute for free or very little pay is just the name of the game. Like I probably did. Oh, I did so many free talks, like speaking engagements or even just like pro bono work until I was paid to do it now. So that's just a part of growing a business and growing a brand.
Right. And, you know, there was something else I wanted to ask you about that you mentioned that I think is super important. So you said that you had mentors, and I know a lot of people struggle with how to find mentors. I know I always in the past, I sort of felt like I wanted to have a mentor, someone who's been where I was going or at least somewhere parallel to it. And I found that I wasn't really coming into contact with these people. So instead, mm-hmm. I started to surround myself with people who were giving information. So even though if I didn't have a personal relationship with someone, I'm like, okay, this woman, she goes live on Instagram often,
yes,
and gives advice. And so I'm going to listen to her and I'm going to take notes from this YouTube class and I'm going to read this book. So I started to surround myself with virtual mentors. And more recently, with being in the Luminary community, it's been so amazing because I'm over here talking about getting things off the ground. And these women are talking about their Q4 goals and how much money they raised last year and or the profit margins of last year. And I'm like, oh, okay. I definitely need to be having more conversations with women that are more senior than me and really doing this thing and talking about the numbers with such confidence. So what role have mentors played in your life, and how did you even go about getting mentors?
Yeah, it's interesting because my answer today is like so different from what my answer would have been years before, because, and I'll just start from there. So at first, Kendra, I thought that a mentor, like literally to your point, it had to be a person who had fully accomplished what it is that you wanted to accomplish, or like someone who was going to literally mentor you in every aspect, mm-hmm. like everything. They would just be your go-to person. And to your point, and you said it so beautifully in your intro, all of that was wrong. A mentor can be the person who you find on YouTube, like you said, like some of these wonderful, like thought leaders. I love Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. She's
yes,
just a boss.
So good.
She's such a boss.
Love
right?
her.
And so just like you, like YouTube videos, very inspirational. And then you, and then sometimes it's just to your point, communities that we're a part of. And like, I'm even thinking about Kendra, you, going back to proposals. The first time, like I had a rinky dink proposal, and then I asked this woman who had been in the business for decades. She's also like a professional trainer. And I was just like, and she's a Luminary member. Mm-hmm. And she, I was just like, you know, would you allow me to just look at your proposal? I just want to make sure my template has all the right fields. And she was like, yeah, I would love to share my a template with you so that you can be successful. And I promise you, friend, literally, it was a powerful moment of me asking, because I was kind of nervous to ask. I don't know why, but I was. The proposal she sent me like yielded like a $30,000 contract.
Wow.
Yeah.
Game changer.
And game changer, because I was doing it wrong.
And you had to ask.
I had to ask. And I certainly had to make the ask. But the bigger thing was I had to realize in that moment how we need people. And that is actually the role of a mentor. Because even if I was doing it okay before, because she's been in the game longer, she had something, she had perspective that I didn't have. And so, but I think you're right. It all comes down to making the ask. Mm.
It sounds like making the ask, the humility. And then it is so awesome when you have someone else who wants you to be successful. When you find those people, that's a blessing right there.
Absolutely. And I think that the other thing is I have mentors who are my friends. So I think sometimes we think about mentorship, and I've talked with you about this. Sometimes we think about mentorship as the person has to be more seasoned than me. They have to be in my industry or sector. None of it is true. I have learned such powerful things from people who are younger than me, people who are my age, people who are older than me. So I think we need to just redefine mentorship. And I think that you can have a mentor who sends you a really powerful article and or invites you as their plus one to a conference. That's mentoring you.
Yes.
That's pouring into you. All of that counts.
I love that. And even just whether that's even having a group chat.
Yes. That you can go our group chat. Yeah.
Right. That you can go to and ask for help, ask for prayer, say, hey, does this Instagram post look stupid? That's all mentorship too.
Absolutely.
So valuable. So one last thing, if you could just give a word of advice to Chelsea, first year of College Code, starting out, what would you tell her?
I go back to what I said before. I would say, girl, trust the process and understand that you are literally in training. So every moment where you feel like, what did I do? Oh my gosh, what was I thinking? God, did I really hear you? Or was I completely tripping? I would remind myself like, no, keep going. You are in a process and a journey to get to a place where you never literally would have imagined. And let's be real, 2020 never would have imagined.
Never.
So, you know, ever. So yeah, that's what I would give myself, and to continue to keep the faith.
Well, we can drop the mic on that one. Thank you so much, Chelsea. This has been a lovely and impactful conversation. I really appreciate you.
Oh my gosh, Kendra. When you invited me to come, I was just so excited. I'm so proud of you and all that you're doing. You radiate so much light. And just even thinking about this podcast and how this was a vision of you, and here we are. Makes me so happy. So thank you, friend.
Okay, such a great conversation with Chelsea. I hope that you are feeling as inspired as I am. I know that I'm definitely feeling pushed to hang in there, bet on myself, and then also ask for more. So really quick, my takeaways are: one, mentorship is key. It doesn't have to come in the way that you think it should, but there are so many opportunities for mentorship out there. We can even find mentorship moments within our friendships or on YouTube or within books we read. Also, if you note, Chelsea reached out to this person to be her mentor. So often we'll ask somebody to be your mentor and then you're waiting on them to hit you up or reach out to you. Like, no, if you have something to be reviewed or a specific question to ask, that's how you take advantage of your busy mentor's time. And I think she did that in such a great way. And she also shared that she was blessed enough to be coached through situations. And nowadays, there are so many coaches that you can invest in if you need to help you get to where you're going. Another thing that really inspired me was don't be afraid to talk about money. Go ahead and tell that corporation to cut the check. As women, we can be so shy to talk about our worth, but no, we have to boss up and get excited when it's time to write that proposal or close that deal and send that invoice. Of course, our rate needs to be fair and appropriate to the market, but we can't cheat ourselves anymore. We have to get paid our worth. And finally, your faith is your superpower. Whatever it is that brings you back to center, whatever it is that you can believe in that's bigger than yourself, that is what you need to hold on to. Chelsea was able to navigate through the harder times because she knew in her heart that she heard from God on this particular assignment. You have to trust your gut, your instincts, your intuition, or in this case, God, that you are on the right path. Stick to it and bet on yourself. And I look forward to seeing what you guys will create in the future. So if you have a friend or a family member that you know needs an extra push to getting to the point where they're really betting on themselves, do me a favor and share this podcast with them. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already and leave me a review and let me know what you think. I love to hear from you guys. Thank you to everyone who's already commented on the Styling Soul Instagram or shot me a DM to let me know that you are enjoying the podcast. I love to see when you guys screenshot that you're listening. So if you're listening, let me know. And of course, I will see you right back here next week.
Selected for you.